Welcome, welcome. Let's stand, shall we? Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to come, Lord, at this time as our hearts are drawn to the season which we are in, where we celebrate your coming. And Father, Lord, we think of families and their need for Christ and how Christmas doesn't fit in the world anymore, Lord. Oh, Father, tonight as we pray, help us, Lord, to, in your power and in your might, and by your will and by your direction, help us to pray so that the enemy doesn't move any forward or any darker upon our communities. Help us to pray in a way tonight, Lord, that brings glory to your name, that shines a light on Christmas, Lord, that remembers Bethlehem. And Father, we pray, Lord, for you to guide everything we do tonight. Help us to be aware of those around us as we pray later, Father, for each other, for our families. And Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of knowing you, that you died on the cross, suffered for us, but rose again, thankfully, the third day, that you're seated at the right hand of the Father, and that, Lord, the time is so short and so soon when you'll return. Help us to never lose the anticipation of your coming again, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen, amen. Please grab a seat. With your permission tonight, I'm giving Jeremiah a rest, and I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1 verse 46, as I've been reading up about Mary, and I want to look at Mary tonight, Mary's first Christmas, a woman called Mary. Luke chapter 1 verse 46, it's called the Song of Mary. I want to read through that and then look at Mary's first Christmas. It says, my soul, this is Mary, magnifies the Lord. What a beautiful statement. This is a girl who we'll find out was around 13 years of age. And my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. He who is mighty has done great things for me. Nothing's happened yet. And holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And then it says, Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her house. In the lead up to Christmas, I am always drawn to the main characters of the story besides Jesus. Jesus is the main character of Christmas, obviously. But I always am drawn to know more about Joseph and Mary, as I believe we could never really understand just what both of these individuals, very young individuals, went through that first Christmas. And tonight I want to do a little bit of a scriptural tracking of she who is known as Mary, the young woman chosen to give birth to the Son of God, the Messiah. But instead of starting at Bethlehem, I want to start at the cross of Calvary and then work our way backwards and then leap forward. John chapter 19, verse 25, Jesus has been arrested, charged, beaten, and now carried his cross to Calvary, nailed on the cross, and he's dying in front of his mother. And it says in 19:25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. Interesting, it says that. And his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. It was only some, and we're not sure exactly how many years, but some 33 years since Mary had given birth to her son, Jesus, back in a stable, a cave, Bethlehem. It's not long, 30 plus years. But now before her eyes hung her firstborn on a cruel cross before the world, and she surrounded with a bitter crowd of religious onlookers, Roman soldiers, other gathered followers. And there at the cross, besides Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary's sister Salome, the mother of James and John, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene, was the young disciple John. Not many mothers, when you think about it, get to witness the execution of their son. Think about that. How many mothers get to witness the execution, the public execution of their son? For Mary to be there showed she was indeed a woman of great courage, and courage is something that from the moment the angel said she was going to give birth, right through her life flows courage. She was there as the mother of Jesus, identified with this man condemned to death as a criminal between two other criminals, and she surrounded with a tremendous group who hated her son, were ridiculing him, and were saying he said to he could save others. Let him even save himself. Come down from the cross. Come down from the cross. Why do you think Mary was there? Would you have gone? Mary was there. Why? She was Jesus' mother. She was there to be there for him and to support Jesus as only a mother does. She loved Jesus passionately, publicly. Mary had been told that this would happen to Jesus, that is, that he would die, but she had not been given the details as we research the Bible. We travel back further in time. Jesus is now born. He's 8 days old. And then on the eighth day, he's the firstborn son. He's been about to be given his name. They have a naming ceremony. His name is given as what the angel Gabriel had told Mary. This is his name to be, Jesus. 8 days. And then he's circumcised. We're then told by Luke that Joseph and Mary present Jesus at the temple some 33 days later. Why the 33 days later? Because Mary had had a child and she had to go through the rites of purification as a woman giving birth to a child, and that took a period of 33 days. And so they go to the temple, her and her husband, Joseph, and there they meet two elderly people, a fellow called Simeon and a lady, the Bible says Anna, Hebrew is Hannah. Simeon had been told by the Lord that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah. In Luke chapter 2, and I'll read it to you, verse 25, it says of this man Simeon, that this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. In verse 26, and it says, and it had been revealed to him, Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Amazing personal promise. So Simeon, as he sees this young couple come to the temple, like many other young couples, but this child, he's led by the Holy Spirit. He comes over to Mary, and he takes Jesus, the infant, out of Mary's hand. He takes him into his arms. Mary is there. What is Mary thinking? What is Joseph thinking? And he takes Jesus in his arms, and he knows that he's looking at the Son of God. The Holy Spirit has revealed it to him. There in his arms is the Messiah. And he sees him with his very own eyes. Amazing. But as Mary, with wonderment, becomes aware of this amazing fulfillment of prophecy, surely Simeon expounded it to them, particularly Mary, Simeon speaks words that would be regurgitated by Mary there at Calvary, as she sat and looked up at her son Jesus hanging, dying on the cross. Because in verse 35, 34 and 35, Simeon says, with Mary, a young mother, excuse me, holding Jesus, he says, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. And then he says these words, excuse me, coughing over this brilliant, only happens when you speak things about the Lord. And it says these words, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. As we read that, she's just maybe 13 years, 14. She's gone there, she's rejoicing, as Simeon has said, behold, this child is the one, the promise, he's come. Mary knows, yes, he is. That's what Gabriel said. We cannot fathom the reality of those words echoing in Mary's heart there at Calvary. But how true a description did Simeon speak when he said, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul. The image of the sword was for Mary alone. And it spoke of the suffering and sorrow she would bear as the mother of the Messiah. She already had gone through some serious suffering and chastisement, misunderstanding and treatment already. We'll hang that thought for a moment. It tells us little about Joseph. And it says to us that the suffering only was for Mary. So this tells us that Joseph would be dead at an early age in their marriage. When Jesus began his ministry some 30 years later, so Joseph had already died. Thanks. So Joseph had already died. So in this is a whole lot. Well, he doesn't. So Joseph is standing there. He's going, so well, am I? I'm not suffering. So there's a big picture here that we just quickly scant over. Joseph is going to die young. Mary, the sword is for you. Simeon's word that he uses here in the Greek for the word sword, I looked up. And it's a large sword. It's not the sword like the Roman sword. It's a large sword. It's the same word used to depict the sword of Goliath. That's a big sword. And the verb that Simeon uses here in regards to the sword and the piercing is this. It's going to constantly keep on piercing you, Mary. Wow. All this was such a far removal from when Mary, after the birth of Jesus, reappears into the narrative again with her and Jesus attending a wedding feast there in Cana. We scan ahead. In John chapter 2, it says, the next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana. We've traveled forward in time in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. Jesus says to his mother, Mary, dear woman, that's not our problem. Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. But his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. Many misunderstand what Mary is saying here and what Jesus is saying to Mary, his mother. Mary was not telling Jesus what to do. She simply reported the problem. Ah, they've run out of wine. Jesus' reply to her was not rude. Woman was a polite way of saying, why are you getting involved with me in the matter? It's nothing to do with us. Jesus was making it clear that he was no longer under her supervision. Joseph, by this time, would have passed away. And from now on, Jesus would be doing what the Father wanted him to do. That's what Jesus says, I come to do and say only what the Father commands me to. Mary's words are interesting after this short discussion in Cana. She says to the servants that she was willing to let Jesus do whatever he pleased and that she trusted him to do what was right. Mary did not make the command to solve the problem. Mary just pointed to Jesus. There at the cross, I wonder as she's sitting there and watching her son die, breathing slowly, painfully. Did Mary flash back to that time when he said, woman, my hour has not yet come? And she's now there and she's going, this is the hour. This is that hour. It's not about wine. It's about his death. The Christmas story we think of is always of calm and quiet, isn't it? Everyone, I was talking to a bunch of police officers today about a horrific crash they attended. 17-year-old girl died tragically straight after getting her license. And you know, I was saying to the officers there, when the officers attend jobs now, if it was in June or July, we would just say, this is a tragic crash. But at this time of the year, everyone goes, this is a tragic situation. And then we add these words, and it's Christmas. Because in the thinking of everyone's mind is that at Christmas, nothing bad should happen. Yeah, well, and it's Christmas. In other words, that shouldn't happen at Christmas. Because in our minds, we always want the Christmas story to be that one of calm and quiet. We even sing about that. Babe in the manger. But the night in Bethlehem was something that we could never know the depths of for this young girl at that time called Mary. Heavily pregnant. I mean heavily pregnant. Having traveled by a donkey, uncomfortable, 118 kilometers, many days, 10 days they reckon, over rough and dangerous roads, alone with her new husband, in the last stages of her first pregnancy, to be alone away from her family because they have to go and pay tax. What a journey. How uncomfortable, how difficult. On arrival, Joseph goes to arrange accommodation. And can you imagine when he comes back to Mary and he says, I have no rooms. There's no space. There's nowhere. And she's about to have a child. Joseph comes back from speaking to the innkeeper to inform her of the lodging problem, and then he leads her, as the innkeeper says, oh, you can go and use the stable. So he leads her with the donkey to where all the animals are stored from all the travelers at that time of the year. It's a cave. It's getting close to her child coming. And so she, with Joseph's help, there's no one else around, tries to prepare the stable floor, no furniture in there, in which she will now lay down and go into labor for the first time. No midwives, no family, no support around her, just her husband, Joseph, and the birth begins. The labor pains come. She brings forth her son, and she must be completely by now. Think she's traveled, worn out. Now she's had labor and given birth to a son. She's just a kid. The travel, the childbirth. As she's there, in come a group of men she's never seen before, strangers, shepherds. She doesn't know them. She's from Nazareth. And they come in looking for the child. And there they find the child, as the angels have said, cleaned, wrapped up in torn pieces of rag, laying in a stone manger. Now, you've been to Israel, no, we were told it wouldn't have been a wood one. Not a whole lot of wood in Israel, is there? It would have been a limestone carved out, straw cleaned out, put new straw in, and there in that stone bed manger is the baby, Jesus. The strangers share why they're there and what they had experienced in the field a little earlier with an angelic host lighting the sky up before them. What thoughts would have gone through Mary as they tell about this? Yes. Wow. But this, remember, we glibly read over it. This is a miraculous conception. And the birth of a child from a virgin. We forget that. Joseph and Mary are there, and both Joseph and Mary surely looked at this baby and must have been completely overwhelmed, for here lay the Messiah with them in a stable. Yeah, this is a miracle. Did Joseph and Mary talk and remember back to when the angel of the Lord first appeared to them separately? Maybe. Now the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee, I'll read it to you, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed, promised to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." Hold that thought. "The Lord is with you." Second thought. "Blessed are you among women. Third thought. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." She's got favor with God. Wow. "And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. Shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there'll be no end." And Mary's going, wow, this is incredible. Can you imagine? All the good stuff. Then Mary said to the angel, "But how can this be, since I know no man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. She is in the sixth month. For her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord," Mary says, "let it be to me according to your word." And then Gabriel disappears. So she's heard all this amazing, fantastic blessing and favor, and he's going to rule forever, and he's the Lord, and it's going to be a miraculous conception. She's gone, this is incredible. I don't know whether you'd go, wow, this is just awesome. According to Jewish customs, at that time it's believed to be that Mary was around 13 years of age when Gabriel spoke to her about bearing the Messiah. Now remember, this young 13-year-old girl had been promised, espoused to Joseph, who they believe was probably 17 to 18 years of age. And they're just young. Joseph, on hearing this, that his wife was pregnant without being with another man, was troubled. How could this be? It says in Matthew 1:19, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." He was going to divorce her in a quiet way. He had the right to kill her. That's Joseph's side of the story. But what of the 13-year-old Mary on Joseph's plans to divorce her? Did he tell her that, "Mary, I'm just going to put you, don't worry, I won't kill you, I won't stone you, but we can't get married. I'll arrange, you'll be able to go away quietly, there'll be no." She's 13. She hasn't done anything wrong, but already the weight of ministry of this young girl is on her. Did Mary think back of this when she was at the feet of the cross and going back to those times, what she began to go through? We don't know. But I'm amazed as I piece all this together of this young woman chosen by God to live a life that God had planned for her in such an amazing yet difficult way. This, remember, her life was God's will for Mary. Each and every event. It's interesting, should we play that when all the kids have the nativity scenes and all the girls want to be Mary, I kind of wonder if they heard all that, go, "Nah, I ain't being Mary. I'm not doing that." Back to Calvary, there on the cross, Jesus speaks to his mother for the last time. And he's talking specifically to his mother, Mary. What is he saying? With the pain and the struggle to even breathe, let alone speak, said to his mother, "Woman," same words, remember? Back at the first miracle, "Woman, but this time, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." He was saying, "Mary, look after John. Make him as your son. Look after him. John, look after my mother Mary. Look after her as if she was your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Jesus gave up his spirit just after this when he shouted, "It is finished. Into your hands I commend my spirit." Helen and I have been to Ephesus, and it is in that location you can go to the house, whether it's true or not, I don't know. But it is in Ephesus that John took Mary and looked after her until she died. Christmas for Mary was a night of massive emotions, experiences. But back in Luke chapter 2, verse 16, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." In Mary's later years in Ephesus, what things would have Mary pondered in those evenings alone with John? I'm sure that joy and amazement would have been a constant with Mary in her latter years. What of Mary now, as we wrap it? I can't put into words, or even would I attempt to, the moment Mary passed from this life to the next, the moment she drew her last breath and then opened her eyes where? In heaven. We don't think about that, do we? But Christmas is the story of lives lived and planned to fulfill the amazing plan of God, as did Mary, a 13-year-old girl. I wonder, as she opened her eyes in heaven, whether Jesus said, "Mary, Mum, welcome home." What a life. What a story. We read it so quickly, but only when we just stop for a moment and pause. I am amazed. I cannot wait to get to heaven. Mary didn't stay a virgin for the rest of her life. Mary is not someone that we pray to. Mary was a sinner just like you and I. But she served a life, and as I look at Mary's life, I think, what a painful but powerful ministry. And there we find her at the cross. I think she's amazing. That's why we could say she's blessed and favored amongst women. Father, I thank you for giving us this wonderful portrayal of a young girl who lived her life completely for you. Now as we pray, Lord, guide our thoughts. Help us to realize that Christmas is not about calm. This world can never be calm until the King of Peace is ruling and reigning. And Father, but we rejoice in that time is soon when he'll return. But we thank you, Father. We praise and honor you for the gift of your Son in Bethlehem. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's come forward, say hi to one another. We're going to grab some cards. We're going to break up in groups. I would like us tonight, Lord willing, let's pray for our families. We'll pray for your family for Christmas. You pray for our family for Christmas.